so happy you've joined us today on the Sandra Hartstone Show. After all, without you, we couldn't be here. I have a panel of courageous women joining me today. We're going to look at some of the prophetic words just released by the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders. Since 1999, this Council of Prophetic Elders has gathered some of the most respected prophetic voices from around America to pray and to seek God for a word for us for this new year. A few of these prophets' names you might recognize are Dutch Sheets, Steve Schultz, Cindy Jacobs, Chuck Pierce, James Gull, Jane Hammond, and so many more. We also have a clip from one of the prophets, Dr. Chuck Pierce, sharing his thoughts on a word from God for our nation this year, and it is very positive. But first, we'll take a look at a beautiful prayer caucus that we have in Washington, D.C. with some of our congressmen. I believe their prayers were essential in the vote for Speaker of the House. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Check out Hartstone Network, a place where you'll find feature documentaries, testimonials, and great teachings by many of your favorites. It's a place that we hope will encourage you in your walk with Christ. While there, check out this series we have with Mario Murillo called I Am Not Ashamed. It's a great look into his past and how Jesus has brought him to be the man that he is today. Check us out, HeartstoneNetwork.com. Welcome back. Well, let's get to it. Prayer changes things, period. God is moving in our nation, and he has commissioned and sent many godly men and women to legislate for him in our nation's capital. Take a look at this photo. This was taken the morning of the last vote for Speaker of the House. Friday's events prove the power of prayer in miraculous ways, said Representative George Stube from Florida. He's one of the members who prayed on the House floor that you see in the picture. He said, "We lifted the speaker's race up to the Lord, and immediately after the prayer of seven members, 14 members changed their vote. And by the end of the day, it had concluded, and we had a speaker." I want you to hear directly from one of these praying men, Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, who talked with Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council.
Well, the core group that joined together on that floor for prayer are accustomed to praying together because we do it routinely. We have a prayer caucus in the House. A lot of people are not aware. We gather for prayer. For example, at the beginning of each week, after the first vote of the week, we gather to get on our knees and cry out to the Lord for his wisdom and discernment and guidance. And we pray for individual prayer requests, often of our constituents and those that we know who are struggling. And it's just a great time of unity and bonding. There's a lot of believers committed, solid believers that serve and are called to serve here in the Congress. They're not always known. They're not sometimes not the most bombastic. They're not always the ones you see on TV, but they are the ones that I believe in many ways are holding the country together. And we're seeking God's providence, guidance, and direction every single day. And you know, there's always been a remnant that God worked through. And this group here believes that that's still possible.
Y'all, I was so excited to see this. Isn't that awesome? I'm just so excited about it. Lindy, I know you really are into this government mountain. So did you know about this?
I mean, I'm so excited about the prayer caucuses and everything that's going on. I mean, we were just down in the Austin Capitol, right? I think it's like God is raising up this remnant to be active everywhere because we got to take ground wherever we are.
That's true. Darla, you were at the Capitol too in Austin. You know, I know what we're talking about is Washington, D.C., but on the local level, things really make a difference. And so we are in Texas. Darla, what did you do at the Capitol last week?
Well, I'm part of Texas Apostolic Prayer Network. And so always before the legislation starts, which it's about to happen, is we go up there and pray for the legislators. And they can come in, we prophesy over them, we speak into their lives and just encourage them to continue on doing the good work. And it is such a blessing to them as well as it is to us. And I want to switch back to Washington because I think this is so cool what he said about Friday's event proved the power of prayer in miraculous ways. Okay, I am all about the prophetic and numbers, and I love it. And seven is the biblical meaning of seven is completion and spiritual perfection. And 14 means deliverance and release. So here you had these men that came before the Lord and they laid down before him, put him you know, in his rightful place. And then they had fervent prayer. And when we read James 5:16 in the Passion, I love this. It says, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayers of godly believers. Y'all, they had seven. It turned to 14 in one day. It was multiplication. And so I just love what we're seeing. And, you know, Harriet, what do you think about that?
Let me just, I'm sorry, Harriet, I got so excited about that guy praying that I forgot to introduce you guys to everybody. Okay, so for those of you listening, I am so sorry. I'm telling you, I get so excited. Harriet, you are from Rwanda, but you're now an American citizen, and you survived the Rwandan genocide, which we're going to hear more about. But welcome. Thanks for being a part of our panel today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And Darla, you're, as you mentioned, you're part of the Texas Apostolic Prayer Network. You're also a spiritual mapper, and we will go into that at another time in more detail. So thank you for being a part of this.
You're welcome.
And Lindy Ann Hopley, you are, you are all that in a bag of chips with Beautiful Witness. That is your ministry, right? Beautiful Witness?
Ministries, yeah. From South
and
Africa.
And you are all over the place, too. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being here. Now, I'm sorry. Go back, Harriet, and say what you were going to say.
I just want to say amen, amen, amen before I begin to say something about this. This is very, very, very interesting. I never knew. I've been in America for 14 years, and I never knew what happened in Washington, that there's those men, who congressmen, who believe that they can humble themselves in front of the Lord and ask for knowledge and wisdom for all decisions they make for these nations. It is what makes America great, and it's just absolutely beautiful to see and to hear about it.
Well, now, Harriet, you went with us. All four of us were at Austin State Capitol last week for, you know, when they were inaugurating the new congressmen and the senators and praying. And you were actually in the room praying for the leaders of our state. How did that feel?
Yeah, thank you, Dollar, for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be there. And I felt I was more American. It was, you know, I born from Africa. And to be a part of that good movement, praying over the people who make a decision in these states, it was amazing. It was so beautiful to see them coming in one by one and letting us, people like me from a different culture, from a different country, from a different background, letting somebody like me laying my hand and praying over those people, that it was absolutely beautiful. It was a great experience I have had in the U.S., the best experience I ever had.
Yeah.
Now, Lindy Ann, you're from South Africa.
Listen,
so you have a different perspective, too.
I have a wild story about praying at the Capitol.
Tell me.
So you ladies were there in the morning, and I got to join the prayer group that was there from 5 till 7:30 or 6, something like that. Anyway, in the evening. So they had me open up in worship. You know, we're singing How Great Is Our God and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, before I knew it, I'm staying over because, you know, it's late. It's a long drive back. And I'm kind of like, okay, God, in the morning, I'm like, God, do you want me to stay? Do you not want me to stay? He said, stay. You're going to be invited to the after party of Attorney General Ken Paxton. I'm like, how is that going to take place? But I'm like, okay, Jesus, let's step out. Before I knew it, I was invited, not just, obviously, the reception was open. There was a VIP after party with a buffet, and since we're fasting, I was like, help me, Jesus. But anyway, we'll get to that later. But then I got invited because what happened at the after party, there was this gentleman I'm speaking to. He has an 8 out of 10 pain in his back. I pray for him. His pain goes down. He starts moving around like this. He's like, I have not been able to do this for 7 months. So he starts shouting for the attorney general. Amen. He's like, Ken, come over here. Come over here. This woman just healed my back. So Ken, the attorney general of Texas, turns towards me. He's like, I need healing too. He gets instantly healed. And before I know it, there's like a VIP after party with only 10 people. I get invited. Now it's at Fogo de Chao. Okay, all this meat's coming my way. And I'm like, Jesus. You owe me. You know how much I love you. It's all this buffet stuff. steak and stuff. But it was so cool to see how God is sending us in. Like you said, like it's these people that it's like unassuming. He's sending us into the very core of these places to bring the kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
Wonderful. Wow. Wow. Amen.
So fun.
Wow. Now, you've mentioned fasting. You know, the beginning of the year is when a lot of people fast. And I've heard about so many organizations across the country fasting. Like in California, they have a movement called Hope California, and it's 40 days of fasting, which culminates in like an event in 10 different cities. And I think, Linda, your church is fasting. My church is fasting. A lot of church. And Harriet, aren't you? Your church or your fasting as well?
We're not supposed, you know how the Bible says when we're fasting, we're not supposed to tell people.
Well, I understand that. So. But the point is we're going to talk about fasting.
Yes,
and so I don't want you telling us about fasting if you have no experience. So that's why I'm title telling on you that you're fasting.
You're right. Yes, I am fasting.
You grew up in a culture though that fasting was like not if, it was when, right?
Yes.
So you're a big believer in that. So let's talk about fasting. Why do we fast? What is the point? And what are our struggles with fasting? And what do we see happen when we fast? Who wants to start?
Okay, I'm passionate about this topic. So
go for it, girl.
You know, when you look at the book of Daniel, you see that the angel that was on its way came to Daniel and said, I'm so glad that you kept praying and fasting because I was busy overcoming the prince of Persia. What do we see with that? In other words, if he had stopped with his prayer and fasting, that angel who had a message from heaven would not have been able to make it all the way to Daniel. And it empowers. So our prayer, fasting, and worship actually empowers heaven to move on our behalf, because this is a co-partnership. We are co-heirs. We are working together with heaven. And so when God called me to fast the very first time, or one of the first times, I literally didn't know what it was for. He just said it was going to be 12 days water. And I was like, okay, Jesus. And he told me specifically, you'll only know why you're fasting afterwards. I'm telling you, I ended up at the end of the fast. And so I'm literally, everyone's like, you must be hearing so much from the Lord right now. Like, you must be in the heaven. And I was like, I'm hearing nothing. I'm in the freaking desert. And I'm like, this sucks. So anyway, but you know, you're obedient because that's what it's about. And so at the end of that fast, I got invited to sing at a ministry event. And the moment I opened my mouth, and I can tell you now, I was not expecting. At this point, I was really angry with God, okay? It was teenage years in the Lord. And because I was like, I'm not hearing from you. I'm already finished fasting. I thought I was going to get a breakthrough after my fast. A day or two had already gone by after the fast. And I get to this event. I'm like, fine. I open the mouth. The glory of God hits the place. People start falling on their faces, shaking under the power of God. And I'd never seen that in my ministry. And I was like, oh, forgive me, Jesus. Wow. I was wrong. You always right. Wow. But it was like, I just started. There's so many examples of where I saw principalities and powers and the authority. It's not about connecting with God. It's about shifting or convincing him to connect more with us. It's actually taking care of that dark layer that covers the earth of growing up. And now I get to travel the world and I get to address principalities and powers. And even in the capital, I mean, I full blown, God told me I was there for three principalities. I addressed Behemoth, Jezebel, and Leviathan, and have no fear, because fasting is dying to self, and you've died to self. So who can kill you now?
Well, you know, she just mentioned some pretty big words there, Darla.
Yeah.
On Behemoth and all these other kind of things.
Virtual mapper, give us your insights.
Yes. So let's talk about warfare. That sounded like a warfare thing to me. I think she's double dog daring you, Darla, to talk about warfare.
Yeah, probably is. No, you know what comes to me is, especially at the beginning of the year, one of the principles of God is first fruits. And when we give him our eating, or we give to him that first fruits, he is going and has promised that he will multiply it for the rest of the year. And so there is something on an individual basis about giving him your first, as well as corporately, like Lindy Ann is saying, there comes a fruitfulness that the rest of the year, especially in warfare, we have that ability for God to give us the understanding of ways that we can overcome strongholds. So I think it is... you know, it is one of the most wonderful ways, just like tithing. It is just another principle of first fruits. You know, you give it to him, you give him the first of everything, and he says, man, I'll multiply everything for you. So I think it's just why we're seeing so many right here at the beginning of the year, you know, moving in that, that anointing, because it is something that, you know, it's not like you're saying that we're trying to get more from God, but it is something that we're, when we partner with him, he gives us more. He just can't help but bless us. That's just the way God is. Yeah. So, well, you know,
Harriet, why are you such a believer? And because listen, y'all, you got to hear this. Harriet is so hardcore on fasting, she will even go without water. Am I saying that right, Harriet?
That's right. That's right.
Let me just drink some water on that tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we're going to have some water, Harriet, while you talk about not
having
right,
water, right, okay? Right. So when I remember when I was young, really in my 20s, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the church in Africa I joined, we used to fast every Saturday and Sunday. And then I began fasting without even knowing and understanding why I was fasting, because I was, you know, a new Christian. And few short time after, I joined the prayer group as a prayer warrior. I don't know why they call it as a prayer warrior. I believe that everybody can pray and God listens to everybody. So I'm not saying that because you have that title of being a prayer warrior, that only God can hear you. God can hear all of us. And then that time I was really struggling, you know, in my life with what had happened to me, leading genocide and all of that. And I found the power of praying and fasting. I joined. I needed to do that. I needed God. And that God found me in that dark moment of my life. And I joined the church that was really, really good on fasting and praying. And that's the power of that praying and fasting. That's when I received my healing.
You mean emotional healing? Are you talking about emotional healing?
I'm talking about emotional healing.
Because let me just, as a background, I told you Harriet survived the Rwanda genocide, but she was 20 years old. And she hears on the radio one morning that the government is calling for one tribe to go kill her tribe of people. And she knew in that day her family was going to die. And she lost over 60 people. And we're talking mother, father, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, cousins. So the fact that she is a woman so full of joy and God has healed her, I'm telling you, if you're going to tell me that fasting healed you, count me in for sure.
It did. Yes, it did. Indeed. And then, but also when we go back in the Bible, we see that a lot of people in the Bible who fasted, even Jesus Christ himself, he fasted before he started his public, you know, service. And when we read the book of Esther, we see that Esther and the Jewish people prayed and fasted for three days. And they see the answer of their prayers. We see David, see, people fasting have been there before Jesus Christ and after Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there is so much power in those prayers. When we fast and pray, things change, miracles happen. And I've seen it. And also during that time of praying and fasting, we are in obedience and humbling ourselves, and our relationship with God grow deeper and deeper and deeper. And so many people receive gifts of visions and prophets that they can start prophesying. And all of that is when you strengthen your relationship with God and spend more time with him. That's how you receive those gifts. So I am such a believer on fasting and praying.
What that brings up is, you know, when people sometimes, you know, we hear about, you know, the falling away of some people, like, you know, he's not answering my prayers and things are still bad and COVID and all this other. Well, you know, I think what you're talking about, Harry, with the fasting is what really leads us to the most important issue. When Jesus said the most important commandment was to love God with all your heart, it's about relationship. And this fasting, it does deepen your intimacy with him. And when you are so intimate with him, it's almost like people will say, ooh, they have a direct line to God. It's not. It's as you get so close to the Lord, it's like your hearts are always communing. And you don't have to tell him what you need. He just, he meets your needs because he knows what you need. You know, when I first heard of this whole thing about intimacy with the Lord years ago, it was so, I mean, when I heard a woman talk about intimacy with God, I just about fell out of my chair. I had never heard of this. This was like 25 years ago. I'm telling you, it rocked my world. Now, a lot of the other people in the church were upset that a woman was preaching, but I was on the edge of my seat, leaning over, going, I don't know what this is, but I must have it. And,
yes. Come on.
You know, after I had my, what I'm going to call beyond the veil experience, where I had this, like my spirit intersected with God's, it was so profound that, you know, that for at least a year after that, I couldn't go to the Lord and say, Lord, would you please do this? Or would you heal Darla? Or would you help Harriet do this? I couldn't. It's like my mouth couldn't form it. My mind, it's like God wasn't letting me. And for a whole year, I thought, oh, I'm such a horrible person because I can't pray for people. And then when I got older, I went, oh, oy vey. God was trying to teach me all along that it's just about having a relationship. It was about loving him and worshiping him. So I would spend hours just sitting with him, telling him I loved him, thanking him, or are you ready for this? Just sitting in silence. Because for us to go to the creator of the universe and do all the talking is just so stupid. So I would just sit and be with him. It was the most glorious time of my life.
That's the thing with fasting too, is it, you know, it gives you so much more time.
I can tag onto that one. I would spend
now
times like
isn't
Harriet.
Happening. There
was times
the Lord happening.
Was.
Now dinner isn't happening.
Sorry, honey, I can't cook.
I'm fasting.
Yeah.
You know, I may have to do that. I must have to go on a perpetual fast so I don't have to cook anymore.
Yeah.
You know, today, speaking of cooking, y'all, today is my 41st anniversary. And I made dinner plans with somebody, and last night I went, oh my gosh.
Wow.
I think it's my anniversary. I can't go out with you.
Wow.
And I just want to tell people, this has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I just want to share something. When I got married 41 years ago today, my mother gave me some advice, and it's the best advice anybody ever gave me about anything, and I want to tell you. Because let me tell you something. Being married for 41 years, there's been at least one or two days where it's been tough, and I thought, hello, oy vey, I can't do this, right? But I want to tell you. My mother told me, if you are really in love when you get married, there's always something to go back to. Best advice I ever got. So I'm just going to tell you, if you're out there and this is one of those days when you're going, oy vey, what was I thinking when I married this person? I'm telling you, it's worth it. You know why? You get to raise those kids together, and then you get to share in the glory of these grandkids together. And the fact that you have this whole history together is such a beautiful thing. Am I right, Darla? You've probably been married a long time, like me.
Don't ask me.
Not as long. I'm the old lady here. Listen. When we come back, we're going to look at some of these prophetic words that the prophetic elders released just a couple of days ago. It's very exciting. And before we get off, I just want to tell you, for warfare, we have these spiritual stakes where you can go stake in the four corners of your property and declare that your property belongs to God. It has 16 Bible verses embossed on them. Wow. They're awesome. You can get them on our site. I hope you'll check out our site, heartstonenetwork.com. There's a lot of amazing content on there from some of your favorites. We're going to be right back.
Many people know about our clinic, but most don't realize we help patients around the globe reach their health goals. Deep down, you know there's got to be a way to get there, but you don't know where to start. Our starter plan is the first step. You'll get everything you need to experience a health transformation in 120 days.
You'll start by resetting your health with a two-week detox. Then you'll implement our proven anti-inflammatory food plan. On top of this, you'll get a 120-day supply of essential supplements, omega-3 and vitamin DK, as well as our homeopathic drops to accelerate your health goals.
Go to Sherwood.tv now and use the promo code on your screen to receive this exclusive offer and save a total of $80.
This is your path to more energy and better health.
Welcome back. I want to share with you now some of the prophetic insight released from the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders that I promised in the beginning of the show. Here we go. Here's some of the things they've said. Some churches will be divided in the coming days. Churches will persecute other churches, and the polarity will increase. Some churches have even made science what they bow down to rather than hearing what God is saying. There is a religious spirit that will raise its head and try to tear down the new moves of God. The next generation must be protected by the ecclesia, which is the church, by the ecclesia leaders, and not let them become jaded by infighting in the church itself. Beware of a marriage between the religious and political spirit. Now, Darla, what do you think they mean by that? Beware of the marriage of the religious and political spirit. What's your take on that?
There's a great young man, and his name is Andrew Cedra with Echo Church. And I think he states it best, and I would love all of y'all to speak on this. Let me just quote what he said recently.
Okay.
He said, if you keep promoting and celebrating sin, you will end up a slave. Culture is now celebrating slavery under the name of freedom and celebrating evil under the name of science. One example is the gospel of COID, right? It replaces peace with panic, replaces good news of the kingdom with fake news. It replaces salvation with vaccination, replaces God with man, replaces morality with science, and replaces holy scriptures with holy safety. It is a gospel, and the gospel is not part of a new experience. There is nothing new about it under the sun. It is repeating history. When governments across the world abandon God and the gospel of the kingdom, what we have a consequence is slavery. So I think he just stated it all. What we have come into, what we are buying into, what we are beginning to see that is separating the true church from that is woke, is that there is a new gospel, and it is not the gospel of the kingdom. And we have, you know, there is going to continue to be a division that's coming because we're trying to get back to the kingdom. And I think even just in what we see, there has been this marriage. It's a perfect picture of religion and politics coming together to make something else other than the true gospel of the kingdom. And I'd love to hear what y'all have to say, but man, he just nailed it to me.
Lindy Ann, let me ask you, when did you come to America?
3 years ago.
Okay. Had you come to America in the past to visit?
Yeah, I've been here for worship school. I've been here for preaching tours.
Okay. Okay, good. So give us your perspective. Have you seen big changes in America? Have you seen this marriage of the religious and the political that we're talking about?
Of course, right. And I like what Darla, what you said, because the reality is they're using verbiage. It's very clever marketing to kind of like confuse people. So like Planned Parenthood, it's not Planned Parenthood, it's planned murder. Black Lives Matter was not at all about Black Lives Mattering. So they use all these words that make you go, oh, of course I want to be a part of it. It sounds good. But it is actually just like the Bible says, that in the last days, that which is good will be called evil, and that which is evil will be called good. And so, you know, for me as a South African coming here, something I noticed was, you know, the godliness of America, the praying country, the safety, the, you know, like you guys don't have fences up like here in Brazil and other places. Like we literally, our homes look like jails. It's beautiful on the inside, but it's so protected because crime is through the roof. And I think something that I think was super key for me, and I don't know, Harriet, maybe you also noticed that, but what I loved is the American pride. Every place has a flag, and because of that, they had value for their country. In South Africa, people don't have value. They trash things. We don't have nice little flower baskets outside of a restaurant. Why? Because they would just vandalize it. And so seeing the demolishing of that through these political agendas really is to break down the beauty, everything that America stands for. It felt to me, I was like, oh my gosh, where are you guys going? We've already seen the side effects of this. You don't want to go down this route. And that's what we saw with something like Black Lives Matter. Went through the streets, demolished the places. And I'm like, am I back in South Africa in Gangsterville? What's happening here? And it's very unfortunate. And that's why we have to pray now and fast and worship and really contend with heaven. Because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Wow. That's very, I love hearing the perspective from people coming from outside our country. I love seeing your perspective on our country because, I don't know, there seems to be just a whole different level of appreciation and value of what America's about. I guess, you know, because those of us that live here, we grow up in it, you just take it for granted and get used to it. I want to continue on with these prophetic words. Here's another thing they've said. God will give solutions to weighty problems through the ecclesia, the church. In order for this to happen, leaders must have these three C's: character, competence, capacity. God spoke to us that great ethics and character cannot necessarily solve the problems of the earth. We need the power of God to solve the earth's problems. God's power, through understanding these three C's, will equip us to be Reformation leaders. Humility was deeply stressed for the coming days. The word that came to us was, "Bend low, for the sword of the Lord is coming." Part of this humility must be to give the glory to God and not look for credit for what we have prophesied. Do we require credit? God warned us that there is a divine urgency in the coming days to be holy and prepared for what is to come, not to be afraid, but to walk in holiness. Harriet, let's get your thinking on that, because you lived in a country where people actually ran to the church for protection, and some of the priests and stuff turned them over unto death. So what do you think about what I've just said about the three C's?
Let me go back a little bit about the marriage. We talked about the governments. Did he say the governments is being married to politics? And
they said we have to beware of the marriage of the political spirit and the religious spirit.
And it is happening, and I'm going to go back to my country. I think it is happening here in the U.S., but also it's happening in the world. It's not just America. It's all over the place. And I like that this country here, there is what they call freedom of speech, which we don't find. The freedom of speech is not in other countries, like, you know, some of the countries in the world. But also I see that most of the time, there is a freedom of speech for people, but the people in a church, like a Christian, they are kind of losing their voice in all of that. You know, they are shy. We are not really vocal about talking about Jesus Christ. We're shy. We don't want to be judged. So we're not really going in with our voice, with all our hearts, and make sure that whatever it takes, I don't want it to be part of this. I don't want it to be part of this because I know who I choose to follow. I am Jesus Christ's follower. I can be part of this. And it's, we see this all over the place, even, you know, in a place of work and in our churches. We need to set us apart. That's what I mean. We need to set us apart and know that we have to be vocal about Jesus Christ and his principles and love and to share with the,
Yeah.
Darla, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest transformation, and I'll just keep saying it, that's happening with me is there is a real understanding of what the kingdom of God is. And it's so different than where we have been. We have had religion, and many of us that are older, Sandra, have been in, and we grew up in a mentality that we were to get saved, receive Jesus, and then sit around and wait to get out of here. And this is changing. And the next generation, you can look at Lindy Ann, you can look at Harriet, and you see they're warriors. They're going in to conquer. And those types of people, what we're seeing coming forth is they want to occupy. So they're pushing away from religion and going, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And what's happening is there's this collision that's happening right now between this marriage that has happened between religion and politics, and the real true kingdom of God that Jesus spoke about is about to rise up, because what he said was that was our domain. We are here to occupy and take the land. This goes right back to Genesis.
Come on, Darla.
It goes right back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were given. We were to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over everything. But the one thing we weren't to have dominion over was each other. We were supposed to work that together. And so what Jesus did is brought us back to this place where we once again have the right to take down these world structures. But it's got to come from a perspective. And, you know, Harriet as well as Lindy both come from a nation that has kings and rulers, and they understand rulership. And we don't have that in America. It's a piece for us that we're having to learn because we don't understand when a king speaks, that is what happens. I mean, like Lindy Ann said a while ago about fasting and Daniel. Daniel had to go to the lion's den because the king had made the decree, not even knowing that that was his favorite servant. He loved Daniel. I mean, he couldn't wait to kill the guys when Daniel wasn't dead, but his decree had to come forth. And this is where the shift is happening. And I think too, you said something about, you know, protecting the next generation when all of this conflict is happening with what we think is the church.
Right.
You know what? They don't need what we have. They need what he has. And that's where they're going. And that's what I love about Sean Foltz and some of these younger ones that are coming into that place of leadership is they're going after him. And they know that they're meant to conquer. They were just created. And Katie bar the door when we get to our grandkids, because they're going to just be explosive in the kingdom because it's going to be part of them. So I'm excited about where we are. It is transition, and it's hard, but you know, I'll stop on this one, but he did say in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and every other lesser thing will be added to you. And the problem is that I do see with the next generation is many of them are seeking the lesser things and not understanding it's the kingdom first. Now that's not just pointed to them, but in all of us, there is something that we have got to begin to grab a hold of, that Jesus spent all of his time speaking and demonstrating the kingdom of God. And he said it 100 times. He only said the kingdom
and
or the gospel.
I like what Darla said about what you said about Daniel, because, you know, you look at that example and it brings back what Harriet said, because so many people were afraid to speak up. Right. They kind of just pretended like politics wasn't even going on, and they're just preaching the Bible irrelevant to what's happening in the times. But Daniel and them, they were not afraid to speak up, and and they didn't have the fear of man. And what happened? Instead of getting downgraded, like everybody is fearful of, pastors are afraid that they'll lose their sheep, lose their flock, this and that. Instead, Daniel and his crew were upgraded to the very highest position in the kingdom. And what do we see with these pastors that were silent? A lot of people did not open their churches again. The other people who are speaking up, like Pastor Greg Locke and Pastor Rodney Howard Brown and all these people, their churches exploded. Mercy Culture went from, like, I don't know what, to like 4,000 people overnight. And I think that's the thing. People are tired of religion. People are tired of irrelevant preaching. Jesus was always relevant to the time. And I think that's the confusion of the political. When people speak about the political spirit, they think if you're speaking into politics, now you've got a political spirit. That's not it at all. Then Jesus had a political spirit. The reality is that he always sent his people, his prophets in. That's why I love being a prophet to presidents and all these politicians and people's personal pastors. Because I'm like, that's what we read about in the Bible. It's time to take our place back to, as you say, Darla, occupy. And people, all creation's waiting for us.
Yes.
Amen. I wanted to echo what everybody said here. I wanted to remind the body of Christ that we have so much power. The body of Christ has so much power. During the genocide against Tutsi in my country, the body of Christ was sleeping. That's why that marriage, the marriage we're talking about today, it happened in my country, and I watched it happening, and I watched it, and that's why we have hundreds and hundreds of people we called inside churches. When you go to Rwanda now, you see a lot of churches, more than 100 churches. They are no longer churches. They are now memorial sites. So when that kind of marriage happened, that is what happened to a nation. So we need the body of Christ. And the body of Christ was sleeping during the Holocaust anyway. So, but I wanted to remind us that we have so much power that we need to start a big calling out what is evil and expose it before the damage is already done.
That's so good.
All right, I'm going to continue on with them. I'm going to continue on with this last piece. They said, we received another important admonition for the prayer movements of the earth to not grow weary and lose hope as if their prayers were not being heard. God is moving whole civilizations around, and it is a process. Keep praying during God's process, for though the answers seem to tarry, they will not be late. God's timetable seems to be wait, and suddenly your prayers are availing much. Well, that's music to our ears, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it is. You know, I think today we've been sitting here just talking about prophetic words, and it really is. We're fasting for the new year. We're looking for God's direction, and each person probably watching is doing the same thing. And there is something, what you were quoting from was actually Habakkuk 2:3, and this is what it says: for the vision is yet for the appointed time, it hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. You know, I've been looking at this in my own life and looking at our state and our city because of, you know, the things that I'm called to do. And I love prophetic words. I believe in it. I know wholeheartedly that God speaks to and through his prophets. But where we lack so much, I believe, is that we say, great word. This is going to happen. Awesome. And we never take it and go deep inside of that and let God begin to unfold that mystery, because it is an appointed time. But many times there is steps to get to that before that appointed time. Just like Lindy's talking about, all of a sudden there was appointed time. She hears the Lord. She obeyed by going back to the Capitol, putting herself in a situation where she could possibly be invited to come into something. She was hearing, and she was taking a step of obedience to where not only did she get into the first part, she manifests what the image of Christ that's in her by bringing forth healing. And then she turns around and gets even greater honor to go even further to express again himself, because he's called her to leaders. So there's many times there's steps that we have to take, that we have to be obedient, and then God begins to manifest and unfold that. But many of the times we just take the words and say, okay, it'll happen when it happens. And yet God's saying, I have steps along the way to get you to the fullness of your assignments. And so every bit of this, you know, that isn't Lindy's own gold in her whole life, is that one little thing, but it's a step towards that greater assignment that God has for her that's building. And it's like that for each one of us. So take it from there, girls.
Now they say faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, if I always say, like, I don't want to be one of those disciples stuck in the boat, right? Like, they must have felt like idiots when Peter's like walking on water just to be with you. You know, like, and he, this legend, the story, and you're like, what are you going to do? If you get out on the water, you'll either walk on water and it's going to be freaking fantastic, or Jesus is going to catch you, which happened to him at the end anyway when he started doubting. He's got you. All you got to do is get out of the boat.
Right.
So I encourage you, whoever is watching right now, that's a word for someone watching right now.
Yes.
Get out of the boat.
Amen.
Yeah.
I promised to play that clip of Chuck, and before we run out of time, Josh, roll that clip of Chuck Pierce. This is Prophet Chuck Pierce.
Well, see, this whole era that we're in is about how we speak, but it's also about how God speaks. See, it's called in Hebrew the era of pay. So when you decode that word through the word of God, that means there's a breath of heaven that's blowing down in the earth. We're in for some incredible visitation. That's the first thing you want to understand. And this breath of heaven is blowing down. It's almost like a new baptism is happening in us to ready us and prepare us for what's ahead. So the word itself means breath. It means voice. And so this whole entire decade that we're living in is about the voice that will be heard. Whose voice will be heard? How will we listen to what we hear? And I don't mean just God's voice. We're watching political changes, and we want to listen to the voice that brings forth the incredible strategy for our future.
Yeah, that was Chuck Pierce. He did an interview with Charisma Magazine. So, Darla, I know you're dying to say something about that.
Yeah, I'm all about the mouth. I mean, this decade, again, if we go back to a king and a kingdom, which is what we are in. Laura, yeah, I have to just do a little beat for a guy named Dr. Greg Hood, and Sandra knows him, and he has an incredible school called Kingdom University. You can find it by going to greghood.org, and you need to look into this because he has studied kingdom for the last 20 years, and it is explosive. But one of the things that just hits me with what Chuck is saying, we know that the Spirit of God is speaking. And right now, this is about us being those mouthpieces that bring forth a sound that shifts things. Now, the key that I keep looking at is many of us, because we're still kind of trying to come out of religion, and that portion is, well, if I desire it and I think it, then that's my declare and my decree. And it isn't. It's got to be what is coming from heaven and what God wants released. And so I just think right now it is just like this, what we're doing here. God's not interested in us as individuals releasing our opinions. His desire, and I feel like we have done this very well today, is that we are releasing his desire because of the image of him on us. And so I just want to speak right now, real quick, before I do it over. Anyone that's out there right now, I just speak to you and say, God has anointed you. He has purposed you. He has given you assignments. You have assignments, and you are called. It doesn't matter if you think that all you get to do is go to the grocery store and talk to one person because the Lord asked you to. If you will continue to do the next thing, just like Lindy did, and show up and do what you know he is saying, what it will do will increase your faith, increase your ability and your intimacy and your relationship with him. Amen. And you will begin to see God do extraordinary things with you, because where God is taking us right now is into the kingdom, and the kingdom is about obedience. And if we will stay in that place of obedience and do the next thing he asks us, we will see this culture, this nation, and the world change for him. In Jesus' name.
That's awesome. Woo! And that is a great way. We are out of time. Hallelujah. That is a great way to end the show. So I just want to tell everybody, thanks so much for joining us. Listen, we want to hear your feedback. Please send me an email. My email is Sandra. Put it up on the screen. Sandra@heartstonepictures.com. We want to know if you like the show. We want to know what feedback you want to give us and what topics you might like for us to talk about. Anyway, we will see you next time. Thanks so much, ladies. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks.
God bless.